Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Anyway, that's what we got going on right now. And looking ahead to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, and Tuesday, and ad infinitum, which means until October, it's pretty much going to be the same thing. The president has been engaged in some hijinks, and I think you can look at the president a couple of different ways. You can like him as a president or dislike him as a president, but then the subset of that is, do you like his hijinks or do you not like his hijinks? I like his hijinks. I find him entertaining. They are very offensive at times, but I find it entertaining. It's like watching some kind of off-color comedian, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I can't believe he said that. Did she really say that? And you laugh, and I guess it's different if you're doing a stand-up at the Mirage as opposed to, you know, the president. But anyway, the president said about Jeffrey Epstein that he had no idea whether the Clintons were involved in the death, but he said that maybe the former president spent far more time on Epstein's private plane and perhaps his private island than is known. So I guarantee you that goes from the president's, first it's a tweet about the president and a conspiracy, hashtag Clinton body count, right? Then it goes to there's an unfounded conspiracy. I don't know if it's true or not, but then it goes to, but it might be. And I think the narrative is going to be for the people that support Donald Trump that it was nefarious action. There was something going on. The Clintons had him killed and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what, now it's coming out that these guards were asleep and didn't check on him like they were supposed to do. And somebody already texted this in, and I appreciate them being a regular listener because they quoted my theory on life, my expression, which can be summed up in four words, and that is, ain't nobody watching nothing. You think at that level that that none of it could be short-circuited by a couple of guys going to sleep and not doing their job, but guess what? It can. 616 now. You don't think the Boeing 737, there's no way they could possibly produce all of these planes and cost people all of this money, these companies, and not realize that they had that mistake. But guess what? Yeah, they did. Lara Brown joins us, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. How you doing, Lara?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I was mentioning earlier that I think you can look at President Trump from my civilian standpoint, not as a director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. I think you can evaluate him. This is what I'm starting to do. Let's put it that way. I'm starting to evaluate him based on his being a good president or bad president, and then I'm beginning to evaluate him on his hijinks. And I know it's not proper for the president to do that, but he is up to some different hijinks. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, so what do you mean? Give me an example.
Well, just some of the tweets, some of this conspiracy theory foolishness, some of this Statue of Liberty stuff that it's supposed to be meant toward European people. At least that's one of his underlings that said that. And I guess I don't think it's funny, and it could be offensive, but it always is something new. Would you not agree?
Well, I do think that he's interested in creating controversy and chaos and a lot of conversation. I do think one of his kind of tactics for getting through on a day-to-day basis is just to always have people talking about him. So in order to do that, you have to always kind of create some level of spectacle and surprise. I would argue that it takes away from the things that are actually more important. I mean, the negotiations with China around trade and tariffs, you could see that he backed away from his tariff threats on a series of products, which is good for the American people. But it's also revealing that when it comes right down to it, he may not be able to do what he says with China, and that he is, in fact, hurting the American economy more than he is helping it because of all of his instability and threats.
I guess what I was trying to say in my own clumsy way is that maybe I feel sometimes when he's up to the hijinks, he's not fooling with things that perhaps he shouldn't be fooling with because he doesn't really know. Does that make sense to you or not?
Sure. I mean, I do think, like I said, that a lot of his sort of daily routine is just how do I stay in the conversation and how do I make sure that people talk about me? And I don't really think of myself actually as president of the United States. I think of myself as a celebrity who needs to stay in the news.
Well said. I will totally agree with that. So when it comes to this conspiracy theory with Jeffrey Epstein, now it's appearing as though the guards were just sleeping, and that's what happened. And again, sometimes, you know, what is it, Occam's razor, the most obvious solution, and people don't like that, and they seem to go off on their own conspiracy theories. What does the president have to gain by going off on this?
Well, certainly it allowed him to once again kind of put out there, you know, his animosity against the Clintons. I mean, so I think some of this is just he likes to have the Clintons as his opponents and his foil. I also think that one of the things that is true about conspiracy theories is that more often than not, it's actually a cover-up of somebody's past mistake. So in hindsight, it usually looks like a conspiracy. But at the time, it is typically somebody messed up, had a bad judgment call, did something really foolish or stupid, and then they're trying not to get caught. So then they start engaging in all these activities to cover up their mistake. And then when it's finally revealed, there are aspects of it that start to look like a conspiracy, but it was never a conspiracy. It was just an oops, now let me wipe the crumbs from my face after having gone into the cookie jar.
I think you nailed it. Larry, we'll be right back. We'll move to the Democrats, talk about the latest in that race. I understand somebody wants Beto O'Rourke in Texas, they're talking about, or at least in Houston, for him dropping out and running for senator instead. Lara Brown's our guest, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. President Trump has also been spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania. We'll talk about the strategy behind that as well when we come back. 6:21, time for traffic now, WWL. 6:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Lara, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but somebody texted in and said, what if Trump had him killed to cover up his own improprieties? And I only ask you that because this investigation is continuing, right? Nothing's going to stop just because Jeffrey Epstein is dead?
Well, so that there are a couple different lines of investigations that are now going to continue. The Justice Department and Attorney General William Barr has said that he's going to continue working with the prosecutors to find and uncover evidence about co-conspirators. So there may be additional charges on others who assisted at the criminal level in this sex trafficking. But there is also the civil suits, and every one of the kind of the victim's attorneys has looked at and are looking at how to file civil suits against the estate of Jeffrey Epstein for, you know, financial damages.
And it's during discovery for those suits that we would likely, the civil suits, we would likely find out more details, who was involved, who wasn't, et cetera, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you about the Democrats, because they were all on fire during the debates. We slowed that down now until September when the debates resume with less candidates. Is anything being done on the campaign trail now? Anybody making any news, or are they all working Iowa pretty heavily?
Well, there was the Iowa State Fair, so they've all been, you know, out to Iowa eating a lot of, you know, corn dogs and fried Snicker bars and all sorts of things, as they've tried to connect with Iowans and kind of launch their campaign there. Beto O'Rourke has resumed his campaign. He did take a pause in the campaign after the El Paso shooting and spent some time at home within his former congressional district. And now he's back on the campaign trail. It makes sense for him to be back. He has already qualified for the third presidential debate. He's got some time to decide whether or not he does want to drop and eventually go for the Senate race there against current incumbent Senator John Cornyn. Governor Hickenlooper, who has not made the third debate stage, is reportedly looking at dropping out and running for Senate in Colorado.
And I was just wondering, as you look at other candidates who are marginal at best, could they serve the Democratic Party better by maybe focusing their attention on the Senate or even the House?
Sure. I mean, I do think that one of the things that's important is that this very large field has helped to kind of put a lot of issues before Democratic voters. And I don't think that that's ever a bad thing. I do think that in order for there to be some real serious challenger to President Trump, there has to be kind of a culling of the field to a more manageable number so that voters can really look at the field and say, who is the person that I'm willing to back, and not be kind of in this constant rotating 31 flavors kind of problem.
President Trump spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania. How likely is that to Donald Trump or to go for the Democrats?
Well, this is what's so interesting is that three of the states, right, that went for the president last time, Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. I'm sorry, it's feeling too early in the morning. All have Democratic backgrounds. And as a result, there is the likelihood that they would swing back to the Democrats. But there is also a reality that those are the place where you have sort of the fewest minorities and the fewest young people, and a lot of the people who make up the traditional Democratic coalition. So there's kind of this question right now of, will Trump do well in those states because they represent a part of his base that the Democrats lost, or will those folks decide to kind of return to the Democratic Party or maybe not vote? And will Democratic efforts to attract white blue-collar workers, in fact, kind of work as they had in the past and actually help them win those states back? I think they're real battleground states. I also think that when you look at President Trump and the Democrats' base, the states that are actually more interesting to me are, in fact, Florida and North Carolina, Texas and Georgia, not because they're necessarily complete battlegrounds or easily in one camp or the other, but because if you're going to have two bases go at each other and you're going to have high turnout in the highest way you can imagine, those are the states that are going to be truly competitive and truly unknown.
Larry, we appreciate your time. I know you said it's early, and it is. we're gonna lean on you throughout this process, and I guarantee you through the election and beyond then. So thank you so much for taking the time with us, as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.